Welcome back to Start, Kyle Orton. I'm Travis. Kyle's here. It feels nostalgic to be back here, Kyle. Your family was beset by the plague.
Yeah, no, I was sorry we missed last week, gang. My family, both of my kids, I mean, first my wife and I, and then my kids, the norovirus just destroyed everything. At one point, my youngest son had eaten both Cheetos and Goldfish before vomiting just straight radioactive orange waste throughout his entire room. And I think that's a nice place to transition into a lot of members of the Bears defense. You know, when we talk about blasting it out both ends, the Bears defense really had some of those moments this year. But yeah, we're finishing up our positional reviews or player by player grades. Last week, 2 weeks ago, we did the offense. Now we got that was very fun for the most part. The defense probably going to be a little less fun. And now we're not talking about how to fix this mess just yet. We'll get into, you know, the free agency and all that here soon. But yeah, let's we got a lot of, first of all, also because of the fucking injuries on this defense all year long. I think we cut off the offense review. I think we said no one less than 100 snaps. We really discussed in much detail, but the defense had 22 guys get that many snaps, and there's a couple guys under that threshold I think we still need to discuss. So, hell Travis, yeah. Number one in the on defense on the 2025 Chicago Bears by exactly one snap. Oh. He had 1,220. Kevin Byard had 1,219. But number one was Jaquan Brisker.
Round of applause.
What do you give Jaquan Brisker, my friend?
Well, that means like no injury for Quani B the entire year.
No, that was true. It has healthiest year, absolutely. Last year he only had 293 snaps.
Yeah.
So his previous high was as a rookie when he was at 954, 896 in 2023. So yes, career high in snaps for Jaquan. What do you give Jaquan, Travis?
Our final treat from Jaquan this year was like a pretty solid performance.
He was very good against the Rams. Yes. And I know we, you know, the usual caveat that I know everybody hates fucking PFF grades, but PFF also agrees with that by far, because that was his only game all season long that got an 82. Or that got an 80 grade or better. He had a couple. Mm-hmm. He only had 4 games in the 70s and one game in the 80s. That was against the Rams. He was very, very good against the Rams. And I think that has a lot to do with Kyler Gordon's presence and how they're able to use Jaquan when they have Kyler. Those two really, they're kind of symbiotic. They play really well together and less well apart.
For sure.
But yeah, what do you give Jaquan, Travis?
So last time we talked a little bit about like expectations versus what we got. I don't know what I expected out of Jaquan. I think the disappointment of using a high draft pick on him has kind of worn off at this point. So I sort of just expect you're going to be an okay safety. That's what we got.
Yeah,
I'd give him a C.
Okay.
He never does anything super impressive, and there are a couple times a game where I'm like, God, if he was a little bit better, I feel like he makes that play.
Yeah, you're a little harsher. I was going to say, I would bet that every single year of his career, I have given Jaquan Brisker a B-, and I think that is what he is. Now, yeah, I will always be mad that they used the 48th overall pick on a B-minus safety, because I think you can find B-minus safeties at a lot of places that aren't the 48th overall pick, no doubt. But it's not his fault where he got drafted. I think he's just, that's probably the last. I don't think he's coming back. I don't think he's the ideal fit for what Dennis Allen wants to do anyways. I think you saw that in fits and spurts throughout the year. And I just, you know, I don't think he's probably going, I think you can replace him for less money than he's likely going to get from somebody. But yeah, I'll give Jaquan a B-. Why the hell not?
So
he also
generous.
Notably, I don't feel like he, I don't feel like he said anything stupid this year, which is also nice. You know?
Oh, good point.
You know,
yeah,
he didn't.
Think he did.
I don't. There was not a single moment this year where I was like, "God damn it, dude! Could you just shut the fuck up?" So that's progress too. So
I also think I saw his no fly zone celebration more at Penn State than I saw from Jaquan himself this year. So
I think maybe he, maybe, I don't know if maybe the new regime was a little bit like, hey, you actually got to accomplish shit before you before you can run your mouth here. I don't know. So, next one, this would also be an easy one for me. Second in snaps by, again, by one snap. He had 1,219 to Brisker's 1,220. Kevin Byard, the veteran leader, pro bowler. I mean, what can you say about Kevin Byard, man? I'm going to give him an A easily.
Yeah, just kind of to your previous point, you can find these kinds of safeties just kind of hanging out there because they're undervalued. Here's Kevin Byard. You know, the Bears picked him up day one of free agency. He's been a fantastic acquisition. Obviously, a ton of really cool interceptions, just a really solid safety. Yeah, it's got to be an A. Is there anything else to say?
And I do expect them to work out something. I don't think it'll be super expensive, but I think he really wants to stay. He was pretty effusive about Caleb and Ben. I think they'll manage to work out something reasonable to keep him. I hope they get a safety in the pipeline behind him. Hopefully not one that they have to take with one of the first, with a second round pick, but you know, I think you work out something with Kevin Byard. But yeah, he's an A for me easily. Third in snaps on, this one's going to be interesting. I think third in snaps on the defense. Dio Dango. No, not Dio. And also Dio is not going to be hard because he's obviously an A plus across the board.
Easy. MVP of the defense this year.
He's above an A. S tier is what the kids give everything, right?
We haven't given out an S yet. We're saving it for Dio Odangbo.
Dio Odangbo. No, Nashawn Wright was.
Oh, wow.
Third in the on the team in snaps this year. So, and again, that's where I feel like with Nashawn, that's where the expectations part gets difficult, because if you talk about what you expected from Nashawn before the year, health, you talk about what you expected from Nashawn after the first, you know, 5 weeks of the season when he was just absolutely one of the worst corners in football. I mean, honestly, outside of one really good game against the Saints, you can go all the way up to the Bengals game where Nashawn was just a very bad corner. And then he kind of turned it around there. So, I mean, versus expectations, A, but at a certain point, he did just become a starting corner. And I feel like you kind of got to judge him on that. So, and I would say after a very strong run after the Bengals game all the way through really the second Packers game, he was not super great in the wild card game against Green Bay. He was not great against Detroit. He was very bad against San Francisco. Mm-hmm. So he really had some highs, some lows. I don't know. Overall, I'm going to say a B plus for Nashawn.
Yeah, I would give him a B. I don't want to let the recency bias cloud me for Nashawn either way. But like you said, terrible start to the year, and honestly, a pretty bad finish. But in the middle there, he was fantastic. Like, he really picked up the slack for a Bears team that had a ton of injuries at corner. Like, what was Nashawn? We should go in order here. Jalen would be number one. Kyler number two. Number three should have been Tyreek. Number four, Terrell Smith. So he would have been what, number five coming into the year, depending.
Yeah, he would have been. You should have been corner five. Yeah.
Yeah, where Zay. It's Zay Frazier. It's not Zod. Zay. So five or six DB on this roster. You usually don't want that guy playing. And for him to come in and eventually round into form like he did, pretty incredible. Like, obviously a turnover machine, not just as far as interceptions, but with a couple of clutch peanut punches in there. So very cool. It's a nice story. But like another guy we'll talk about, CJ Gardner-Johnson, like a fun story for a while until it wasn't so fun anymore there near the end of the year. And it just became like, oh shit, this isn't a guy who should be starting games for us right now. I really wish we had all of our starters in here. So yeah, I would say a B for Shawnee. Great story. He's going to get paid by somebody, man.
Yeah, I would like, again, just, you know, I'd like to let somebody else pay him, maybe even get a comp pick for it. I don't know. Yeah. Great story. Thank you for what he gave him. Definitely one of those things where I feel like it's better to, you know, I would take the risk that you let him go.
Yeah.
Anyways, number four, Tremaine Edmonds.
Here's an easy one. This is an F. This is an F for his whole career. This is an F for Tremaine Edmonds, the signing. He may have fooled people with like three games and some interceptions during this year. This dude is bad. Like, he has been, he has been good for maybe, what would you say, a total of like 10 games where he's been really good over his tenure as the Bear. And the rest of the time he has been mid to miserable. It is frustrating to me that there are still people out there that will defend this guy. And God, that contract is the worst of the Poles era. Just a disastrous move. Trading Roquan Smith. We thought he was just, oh, he's ahead of the game. He's not going to overpay an off-the-ball linebacker. And then he just blows $15 million a year on Tremaine Edmonds. Thank God he's going to be gone. He'll be off the books. There is nobody who I'm more certain will be cut than Tremaine Edmonds. And yeah, I have so many fewer positive thoughts on Tremaine Edmonds than other Bears fans.
The thing that's frustrating about Tremaine is that he did have some moments this year where he looked a little bit improved. Well, when they moved him to Will, basically, instead of moving him, instead of, and because of that, he did play a little faster and had some plays against the run, which he hadn't done in previous years. But just, and I know people get caught up in the interceptions, but he was fucking terrible in coverage again. And that was why he was, that's why they gave him the money. That was the whole argument for letting Roquan Smith go, was that Tremaine was supposed to fit Eberflus's scheme better, and he was supposed to be a coverage erasing dude, because his last year in Baltimore, or last year in Buffalo, that's what he did. He was great in coverage. Roquan's been better in coverage since he fucking left. Tremaine's been ass in coverage in Chicago. Kyle Shanahan, the 49ers game is really all you need to see of Tremaine, because Kyle Shanahan fucking put him in the blender, put him in the sniper scope, whatever you want to, whatever expression you want to use, just fucking embarrassed him. They can do so much better with the money. I don't know that I give him an F quite like you. It's weird.
If you're being that badly outshone by DeMarco Jackson the way that he was this season, and you're getting paid that much money, that's an F. There's just no way out of that, in my opinion.
I'll give him a D. I'll be nice. I'll give him a D.
That's very kind. So you're being so nice.
I know.
I'm being the bad guy.
We're reversing a little bit. We
got to switch roles. Yeah. We got to switch roles back. I'll be good cop. You be bad cop. Give me Trevon.
This one will be interesting. So Montez Sweat.
Oh.
For me, I don't know. This is where I feel like Montez was everything I expected Montez Sweat to be this year. And again, he's what he's been all along. And we said this from the very beginning. He is a great 1B defensive end, or he would be the league's most amazing DE2. But they've never given him a DE1. And the end of the year, PFF gave him 12 sacks, 42 hurries. That was a career high for him. I thought he did make some major plays for sure at times, and he was the only guy that they had. So I'm always waiting that too. It's not his fault that they never put anyone else around him. I'm gonna go a B plus for Montez Sweat, and I think that's just what I think he's a B plus player, and I wish they had an A. I hope this offseason they find a way to put an A player opposite of him, because I think he would eat. But yeah, he's just a very B plus player.
Montez, another guy who finished the season really strong and standing out, whereas in the middle of the season it felt like he just
was
completely
very big in the he was good in the wild card game versus Green Bay. Absolutely, he was really good in the second game against Green Bay. The first game at Soldier Field against Green Bay was dominant there. And I mean, I think the way the defense had been playing in stretches that night against Green Bay, you know, Green Bay had a timeout in their pocket. They had 27 seconds left. Malik Willis was throwing bombs. That sack where he instantly just killed Malik Willis there to force that game to go to overtime. Not that it was necessarily likely that Green Bay was going to do something, but there was time if they managed to get a quick hitter off to potentially keep that game from ever going to overtime. They had enough, but he took, just wiped him out instantly, took 10 seconds off the clock, backed him up so bad Matt LaFleur decided to just go into overtime, and the rest is history. So that one was huge. So yeah, he definitely
another guy, another guy who really benefits from the presence of what Kyler Gordon does. We're really, really going to set up this Kyler Gordon discussion here in a bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, Montez Sweat, like you said, he needs 1A, or he needs a guy like Kyler flying and blitzing, causing more disruptions. Yeah. He needs help.
He needs something. Yeah, he needs someone. Or if they could get a penetrating defensive tackle to, like, actually draw double teams next to him, that would be really nice. So, yeah. This one I think is going to hurt you, buddy. Jervon Dexter. You want to talk about Jervon?
I cannot believe how many snaps he got. Here's the
Who else were they going to play?
Yeah. Here's the thing about young defensive tackles, right? They have a long, slow progression. And last year, it felt like we were kind of on the cusp of something with Jervon. He was getting a lot of penetration. He didn't get home a whole ton. He was strong in run defense, which is something he showed in college, and he hadn't showed as much in the NFL. It feels like this year, like everything that he had been working towards just didn't materialize.
I want to be nice to the kid because the whole argument about drafting him was predicated on he was going from a two-gap system in college where he wasn't very good to a one-gap system where he could just play fast. And we saw last year we were starting to see the fruits of that. Yeah. This year they switched to a two-gap scheme. That's not his. I think Jervon Dexter still has a useful NFL career ahead of him. I wonder if he'll be a trade piece this offseason. I do not think it's going to be in a two-gap scheme like Dennis Allen runs. So that if any one player on a lot of the pieces on this defense, I actually think fit Allen's scheme even a little better than they did Eberflus's scheme in some ways, but he's the one guy that just truly got fucked by that transition, really busted his ass off trying to make it work. But just isn't a guy who naturally takes on double teams like that. And, I'm going to give Jervon, I will give him a C-.
I'll give him a C, and like you said, he is a victim of the transition. Also, I mean, I should probably take another one off. I should agree with you for C- because of those two absolute butter hands plays that he had this season. Just has a ball right in his hands, and then it just squirts out another 10 yards down the field, once against the Bengals, the second time in a much more important game. It's so sad. Because I like Jervon a lot, but I think I alluded to it a couple of weeks ago, talking to Pat. Just like it's like Jervon Dexter and Andrew
Billings switch personalities. We are name dropping Pat way too much.
We are. It doesn't.
His ego's gonna inflate.
That's right. It's like Billings'
his opinion.
We'll talk about Big Bill here in a bit, but he's a completely different guy too. He was doing something completely different this year from what he had done the 2 years previous, and it didn't work for him either. So we need a little bit of a revamp on the interior. I agree it's probably not necessarily Jervon's fault, but he's kind of run out of time here in Chicago to be able to capitalize on his talents.
Yeah. This one should be easy. Grady Jarrett, F.
Yeah, I mean, another all-time terrible signing. Why did you do this to us?
Terrible fucking signing. God damn.
It should be said. Grady Jarrett is one of my favorite NFL players overall. I'm talking top 25 for me personally.
And
in Atlanta.
Will say, I think he's around. I think they have to. I think they just have to eat it and bring him back next year, anyways. And I do think that if they can add some other dudes on the defensive line and really reduce his snap count, I do still think he could be a somewhat useful role player, because he did have his moments, especially, the last couple games of the season, he flashed a little bit. He had some penetration disruption in the wild card game against Green Bay. He looked pretty good week 18 against Detroit, was one of the few people that did. He looked pretty good both Green Bay games. He had three hurries the first Green Bay game. He had a couple of pressures the second Green Bay game. He had a couple pressures that, yeah, so he had on the season, he had what, 23 pressures, and seven of those came in the three games against Green Bay. So that's nice. I think he's going to be around next year anyways, unless, and I really hope they don't restructure his contract. Just eat it so you can get out of it. Yeah. I think there's maybe a place where he's not completely fucked in a limited role, but in the role that he was asked to play this year, whoo boy, does that one look pretty fucking shitty.
Just completely useless. Yeah.
Total fucking ass.
He's old. He's hurt. When a franchise legend like that gets cut, you don't jump on that guy immediately. You ask yourself, okay, why would they cut that guy? It's because he's old and he's broke down and he doesn't have it in him anymore, man.
Pulse fucking asked his good buddy Matt Ryan, should I sign Grady Jarrett? Like, what's Matt Ryan gonna say there, man?
Why is Matt Ryan fucking the primary football executive so hard? Matt Ryan needs to get the fuck away from the Bears and stop screwing us out of comp picks, screwing us into Grady Jarrett's old ass. You know what? Fuck Matty Ice.
I don't really want to.
If I see him in the street,
Grady Jarrett's old ass. That's for sure.
Matt Ryan screwing Grady Jarrett's old ass here, live on the Scottcast.
All right. So Grady Jarrett, F, that one's pretty easy. Austin Booker. This is tough for me because I thought he did flash quite a bit. He's still, for a guy that's, you know, defensive end takes time to evolve too. For what he's been asked to do, the project he was, for the time he missed. And the fact that by the time he got back, every other edge we had was dead. So he was asked to take so many fucking snaps.
Yeah.
Which is, he's supposed to be a pass rushing specialist. And I still think if they can actually find another actual edge and you get Austin Booker in the pass rush specialist role, you keep him down to 10, 15 snaps a game or 20 snaps a game where he should be. Mm-hmm. I think he can really be a demon. So I'm going to say Austin Booker, for what they asked him to do, going to give him a C+. For what I think he could be if they bumped him down the depth chart to where he really should be, I think he could be an A+ in that role. I definitely not upset with Austin Booker as far as the defensive line. Probably the defensive lineman that I am most satisfied with as far as their future outlook and everything. But definitely was asked to do too much for what he is right now in this defense right now, out of kind of a necessity, unfortunately.
Yeah, he definitely helpfully proved that he is not the guy to be on the other side of Montez Sweat on this defense. Like you said, a guy who comes in on third down, pins his ears back, you know, goes straight at the passer. Unfortunately, that's just not that valuable in this NFL.
There is a value to it in guys like Bryce Huff and stuff. If he could be the Mark Anderson of this team, he'd be in really good shape. But right now he's being asked to be the Alex Brown, and that's just not who he is. So
if only we had Dio Dangbo out there, he wouldn't have had to do this so much. I think C+ is kind of nice. I'm going to say C-. He wasn't very helpful. Twice a game, the Discord would be like, oh, Austin Booker sighting. I'd be like, he didn't fucking do shit. Nothing would come of it. So
he did have 35 pressures, which was third on the team, considering he did only play in 12 games versus 19, like some of the others. What pass rush we had, he did offer a lot of it comparatively.
Third on the 2025 Bears in pressures. That's something to hang on your hat on. Hang the banner, Austin. Put it up in your apartment. You better not be buying a house, buddy. Apartment. Who's next, Kyle? I'm shocked Austin Booker had that many snaps. Like, that seems really high for Austin.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, like, they had no depth by the time he got back. There was absolutely no way to keep him fresh. And I feel like it happened a lot where he would look pretty darn good in the second half of a game and wear down, because again, as excited as I was about it in preseason, I did not envision a scenario where you were going to have to run Austin Booker out there for 70 snaps a game for 8 straight weeks or whatever it was. I've been like, well, that's not going to go well. And it didn't, you know, it didn't.
Yeah, so. I'm a disturbing lack of corners, a noticeable lack of corners so far that we have talked about. And we've still got like 27 of those guys we've got to talk about.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we got... Oh, shoot. Never mind. I switched. Okay. Tyreek Stevenson.
Hey.
About Tyreek.
Tyreek, what a weird, weird year you had. Started the year as like a legendarily bad corner and then really improved and then got hurt. And after he returned, not nearly as good as he was right before that injury. And then, he like couldn't see the field.
Well, but then I feel like he did. Yeah. I mean, when he saw the field again, I thought he had kind of rounded back into form. So I'm willing to, I will say, I will give Tyreek a B because I am willing to just look at the timeline. Yeah.
No way.
B minus?
I'm going to be such a dick to, I think like he, like overall, he didn't play great in that many games.
How would you feel if Tyreek was a starting corner on this team next year?
Like really bad. Like they basically benched him at the end of the season. He couldn't. We had three guys out there. One of them was Nashon Wright. They got Kyler Gordon back into the game. Jalen Johnson was out there seemingly on one leg, you know, and they had Nick McLeod out there. Like we could barely see Tyreek Stevenson to close out the year. Like, I don't think this coaching staff has a ton of faith in the guy. I think he
did
flashed
have 20 to be
in
fair,
the middle.
He had 24 snaps against the Rams, played pretty well.
Okay.
Was targeted 5 times, only allowed 39 yards. So that's pretty good.
How many snaps total did the defense have in that game? That's like one out of every 4 snaps he was out on the field there?
Versus the Rams? I don't know. Hold on. Let me take a look. Da-da-da-da. Making me more. Okay. Divisional round.
Give me the denominator.
Give me the denominator. Okay. Okay, so Tyreek in that game had 24. So CJ Gardner-Johnson had 47. So yeah, I mean he had half the snaps of the next highest corner, I would say. Nashon had 66. So
yeah. Right. This is my concern. Like I don't know. I mean, I obviously wasn't as high on him coming out of the draft as you were. So maybe there's still some bias coming in from there. But I just like overall, if you look at the whole season, he spent much more time being bad or injured than he did being good. When he was good, he was really good. Before that injury, he was out there. He was a lockdown corner. But again, that was against wide receivers who weren't like necessarily great, although I guess by the end of the year, George Pickens had kind of ascended.
Good year. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, but that was, but again, that was as George Pickens' year went on. So I don't know. I would give Tyreek a C-, and I feel like I'm being really, really generous for a guy who got beat out by CJ GJ, a guy who was routinely like the coaching staff wanted Nick McLeod out there.
I don't think he got beat out by CJ. Their utilization was totally different. If he got beat out by anybody, he got beat out by Nashon. Because when Jalen Johnson came back, instead of Tyreek going back to being that other outside corner, it was Nashon. So he got beat out by Nashon. I don't think he ever really got beat out by CJ. This is not Madden. You don't just bump an outside corner into slot because a guy with a higher overall rating came back on the cornerback depth chart. CJ, GJ. Yeah, I don't know about that. All right.
How many snaps did Kyler Gordon get in that game?
How many snaps did Kyler Gordon get in that game?
Because what, like, where do you think CJ, GJ is playing?
Kyler Gordon had 52 snaps at slot cornerback. They also have CJ, GJ listed at 47 snaps at slot corner. I'm guessing that's probably because the Bears.
What? Is it dime? Were we just in dime the whole game?
I think they were in a lot of dime, and they sort of used CJ and Brisker kind of as like proto linebackers in that.
Do I have to go back and just watch the defense in that Rams game?
Yeah. Dennis Allen was doing some sicko shit with those guys in that game. So I did appreciate that. Jalen had 66 snaps in that Rams game. So that was, I think, a season high for him. Nashon had 66. Yeah. Anyways.
All right. So wait, if they both had 66, how? Where was Tyreek getting into the game? Was he taking over at one of the? Well, they have
him
slots?
Listed. So PFF has him in that game listed at left corner. So he got 24 snaps at left corner. The other person listed at left corner was Jalen. So it looks like Jalen. Maybe Tyreek was spelling Jalen a bit there. So
okay, I feel like the math is not mathing there. The math, right? Am I not right? What are they talking about?
I don't know.
Okay.
Anyways.
All right, guys. 2 weeks from now, deep dive into this snap count data. We're going to figure it out. Anyways. I'm going to do counts all by myself.
All right. You don't like Tyreek. That's nothing.
So we had our first big difference there.
Yeah.
I might be the only one because we're both going to love Dio Odengba.
That stretch where he was good was very.
It was really good. It was like really
top 10
good.
In the corner in the league stuff for like 6 weeks, and then I don't know. I have a heart because his decline coincided so neatly with the shoulder injury that I know he rushed back from. They fucking put him in a harness. They rushed him back because every other corner was dead.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I have a hard time. Anyways, because I'm guessing when we're gonna get to Jalen Johnson here in a little bit, we're gonna talk about how hurt Jalen was.
Yeah.
And give him some grace there. I got to give Tyreek some grace there too. So
no, we give that grace to young players, Kyle.
And Tyreek is young. Ish.
No. I'm saying I'm not going to give that grace. Whoa, Cam Newton was talking about a guy in his second year. All right, you're not young anymore.
Okay. After Tyreek, we've got CJ GJ, and yeah, I'm gonna go. I think this is a fun one, again,
it's expectations.
He played as well as a guy you pick up in week six or whatever possibly can play at. And he also played like a guy who was available in week six for a reason. So yes. I would say if I was grading him solely on helping out the 2025 Bears out of a very dark spot, that's an A for him. Mm-hmm. Overall, I'm going to give CJ GJ a C.
I'm going to give him an A because I mean, just for that reason. We should not. This dude was basically out of the league. I mean, he had that emotional post game talk when he got the game ball there about how, like, basically he had football taken from him. He loved being with the Bears. He loved being a teammate. He had that moment where he was going to fight on Caleb's behalf because the refs wouldn't throw a flag on him.
That was pretty awesome. Yeah.
Obviously, seems like he really gelled with this team. We know he gets along with Dennis Allen. Those two have hooked up before. A guy I maybe wouldn't mind being one of the cheaper options.
Yeah, I think, take a look at it, safety. Yeah, I wouldn't mind them bringing him back. I think they will, honestly, for not much. I think they'll work out something there.
He's fit useful, into that locker room really
useful
well.
Useful as a corner, chess piece, useful as a depth piece. I think with a whole offseason to work with them should be a little bit better. Yeah, I'm sure they can.
Yeah.
Next up, so this one's going to be an interesting one, too. TJ Edwards.
Is it interesting? Am I just really mad at these linebackers?
It's interesting because I'm trying to decide if an F is too mean.
For a guy who's going to be out for the whole next year.
The run defense was noticeably better when TJ was something resembling healthy.
Yeah.
The problem is that the pass defense was not. And Green Bay and San Francisco both just absolutely fucking mergalized him in coverage. Just so like, okay, against, just gonna read these off here. Against the Packers the first time, right? Am I looking at the right one here? Yes. Okay, so the Packers the first time, not so bad. So the Packers at Soldier Field, they targeted him 26 yards of coverage, and then against San Francisco, four for 74. Lions in week 18, 4 for 5 for 33, and then it was getting beat in coverage in the wild card game when he broke his leg after just 12 snaps. So I mean, I honestly think, and just overall PFF grade, I don't know how we feel there, but against San Francisco, a 45, against Detroit, a 61, against Green Bay so far in the wild card game before he got injured, 29.8. Just not a guy. And we talked about this with those guys, kind of like Olamide Zaccheaus, those guys who enter the league because they are just, and undrafted and get by because they're just so much smarter and get by on guile and say they can't afford to lose any steps. And he clearly lost a step and was just getting beat so badly in coverage. Yeah. I don't think we're going to see him again. So and boy, I expressed reservations when that extension was signed, did everything I say there, because he was a guy who looked like he was in decline to me in the second half of last year.
Yeah.
And I was like, please don't do the Danny Trevathan where you extend a guy because he's a glue guy, even though he's clearly in decline, and they did it. And so now they got to fucking eat that one, too. Grady Jarrett, the Edwards extension, and the Dio Odengbo contracts, all of them looked bad when they were signed and somehow aged worse than I thought they would. So yeah. That really sucks.
Well, how dare you impugn Dio Odengbo's name? Yeah, TJ Edwards is an F. Again, I feel like I have to say the same damn thing, but it really shouldn't be this noticeable when you go down and DeMarco Jackson comes into the game and all of a sudden the defense works. Like specifically against the Rams there. Wow. Addition by subtraction. He comes off. Kyler Gordon comes in. Dennis Allen gets desperate. And all of a sudden we have the best defense, you know, we've seen all year. He's so slow. And Dennis would run him on delayed blitzes. And like, what do you think is going to happen? He just had no power left. I mean, yeah, he was a really great signing that first year. And then, yeah, why the extension? Why with
like
these linebackers?
The Edwards extension felt like Poles trying to give himself a win. Just like trying to say, here's the guy that I signed that earned an extension. And I, anyways. Next up, Big Bill. This one stinks because we loved Big Bill. But I gotta give him an F.
Big Bill, but yeah.
I gotta give him an F this year. He was probably the team's worst defensive lineman overall. It was not pretty.
Really weird year.
Bill. It's just a guy that big is not supposed to move like that in the first place. And when you suffer a lower body injury like he did last year, you're almost never the same. And he's just not a guy that could afford to lose any explosiveness, and he basically lost all of it. So
he was the one shining light from signing Grady Jarrett was that with him and Andrew Billings, we had two of the five best run stopping interior linemen in the NFL from the year prior. So it was like, hey, we'll stop the fucking run with those two guys at least. And unfortunately, Grady Jarrett got old, and Big Bill this year could not stop the run, but he could overrun the run. He would just run straight ahead, run right past the running back, run right past the quarterback, fall down.
Remember the Jaden Daniels
one? What are you doing?
Remember the Jaden Daniels one? That would have been blamed for, but God, that was one of the funniest snaps defensively all year.
Yeah.
He just burst through the Commanders' offensive line, and Jaden Daniels is just standing there, like, stock completely still for a moment, and they're just looking at each other, and Andrew Billings is just, you can almost see him going, fuck, because he knows
he's like, I can't, what am I supposed to do?
He knows he's going to get posterized, and Jaden Daniels just like the fucking Roadrunner, just meet me, and leaves him a cloud of dust. Yeah.
I never in his career has he been the guy to be like, I'm going to bull rush, like, just unthinking straight through the line, and now he's doing it, and it just, every time he was on the field, the defense didn't work.
Okay.
So that's another guy who got an extension where you would think Poles wanted the win.
I mean, to be fair with Billings, I think, is this the last year of his extension anyways?
It was never
much money to begin with. So yeah, signed it was a 2-year extension, $8.5 million with $6 million guaranteed. That, I'm not going to slam Poles for that one because, whatever. This one should also be, wait, did you give him a letter?
Don't make me do that. I like him too much.
Okay. Next up, this one's also going to be real quick and easy. Nick McLeod. I know expectations
Jesus
are a thing.
Jesus fucking Christ, Nick.
What is the meme? Our expectations were low, but Jesus fuck or whatever. I'm going to give him an F, obviously, but just for funsies, let's read his coverage stats because I'm sure they're. Let's see here. What did he get? So
that's an F for sure. We were screaming at them to
so
put
he
Kyler
was,
Gordon in.
He was targeted 32 times this year, Travis. How many completions do you think he gave up on those 32 targets?
24.
Ooh, you have too much faith in Nick McLeod. 26.
Nick.
I mean, I'll just say this: if Caleb Williams had,
how's that even possible?
If Caleb Williams had a Nick McLeod stat line in any game, we'd build him a statue. So Nick McLeod gave up 26 receptions on 32 targets for 322 yards, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. His overall passer rating allowed was 148.2.
No!
And again, I know expectations are low, but like at a certain point, you're just literally anyone else could have done. I refuse to believe you could have done worse.
Nick was. Was there someone who was the eighth corner on the
team?
Was
there someone who was going to give up all 32 targets out there? I mean, Jesus Christ!
Why didn't I see Josh Blackwell instead of Nick McLeod? All right, that's my question.
Yeah,
anyways, that's Dennis Allen's cross to bear, not mine.
Okay, next up. Noah Sewell. That one's a D for me. He made some okay plays early in the year, and then he got exposed more the more he played.
Yep.
So I'm going to give him a D.
Yeah, when other teams didn't know how to expose him, he was fine for like 3 games. And once they figured it out, he was, again, another guy who got badly outplayed by DeMarco Jackson. It's the DeMarco Jackson rule. You get an F if a dude coming in off a practice squad from the Saints, because Dennis Allen knows him, beats your ass. And that's every linebacker we had. We had to try all of them.
I feel like linebackers are kind of like that now in the NFL. It's like it's almost like a relief pitcher in baseball, where 1 year, you know, they give up like they have like a 0.7 ERA, and then the next year they give up 30 home runs, and you just don't know.
I think you're onto something. Yeah,
I feel like that's why I just re-signed DeMarco Jackson, and you know, you just try to. I feel like it's so matchup driven, anyways. Anyways, yeah. So Sewell D. This one's gonna be okay. Jalen Johnson, Travis. What are you giving Jalen?
I mean, it's a fucking F, right? It's got to be.
I mean, if we're talking expectations, but God, I feel bad doing that for.
Okay, injury, but the injury is part of him now. That's part of his career. It's part of Jalen Johnson. You know, it's as much a part of his legacy as it is Tevin Jenkins, as it is.
Yeah. I'm gonna give him a D because I can't give a guy an F when I know he rushed back and it fully admitted. He was nowhere close to 100% just to be part of the run. And he did have some moments against the Rams, did have some moments against the Packers, I feel like, in the playoffs. So I'm going to give him a D. But and to be fair, and to be clear, if he's healthy, I definitely, and I think he hopefully should be healthy next year. I mean, knock on wood, you'd almost think I ain't going to fucking say it. Anyways, I think he will be healthy next year. I'm sure Jalen will look a lot more like the guy we're used to next year. For this year, it was a D.
Sure he will. Corners never fall off suddenly after injuries or like due to age or anything.
Yeah, no, it's never happened.
Nope. Never seen that before. He'll be fine.
Okay. DeMarco Jackson. What are you giving DeMarco? I'm going to give him an A.
He gets an A+. Thank you, DeMarco, for coming in.
We were saving those only for Dio, but all right.
Well, Dio gets an S, remember? That's A+ for DeMarco Jackson. His presence was noticeable, which is unfortunate because of all the money we sunk into our linebackers. Like I said, this dude, he's supposed to be a special teamer. He's a practice squad guy. There's another linebacker. I don't know if we're going to talk about who is a practice squad guy who we called up so many times, we had to cut his ass. That guy gets an A+, too. That dude's doing work. But DeMarco... he played great. He was really strong against the run, really noticeable helping in run defense. And like I said, when TJ Edwards went down and DeMarco Jackson got back on the field, things changed for the Bears defense. So what else could you expect from a guy like that? Great job, dude. I'm sure next year, if he's starting, he'll be exposed just like Sewell was, you know, eventually this season. I don't want to shit on Sewell too much, though, because, again, there's another guy who unfortunately had an injury. Boy, I've said DeMarco Jackson a lot during this episode.
Okay, next up, Travis. 369 snaps. The moment has arrived. Dio Odengbo.
S. Dio Odengbo. Obviously, the best signing of the offseason. Nothing fixed the Bears quite like signing the extremely expensive version of DeMarcus Walker, who, by the way, was on his couch all year.
How many fucking times has Poles done this now, where he has fallen for a guy who just basically gets cleanup sacks. Just, yeah.
He just, I mean, it, like, it makes me so mad that I have to joke about it. This is why we have to crack these jokes, because I feel an actual burning rage about this one. He, like, a guy, like, maybe you draft a guy like this, right? And you say, oh, I'm going to project it out. He has all the tools. Maybe I can coach him up to be awesome. Why in the blue hell would you let him go through his entire rookie contract in the NFL and he's still just that guy who never put it together? Yeah. This guy who is, like, okay at everything. And you give him that amount of money, like, he's going to do anything on this defensive line. When you had that guy the year before and you were paying him nothing, and he was fine. And that's what Dial was until he got injured and nobody fucking noticed. And it changed nothing for the Bears this year. And he will be back next year. And we are going to crack more jokes. But know that beneath the jokes, both of us are just absolutely nuclear pissed off at Ryan Poles for this one.
Absolutely. So this next one should be fun. Dom Rob, because, again, hell, if we're factoring in expectations.
He's an A versus expectations.
I literally called him a fucking cockroach before this season because I was like, what the hell does it take to kill this guy?
Yeah.
And then he actually, I mean, I still can't believe that incredible instant sack that he had of Matthew Stafford that caused a fumble, like that Stafford managed to recover that fumble. But yeah, I mean, he was used sparingly. I mean, again, he only had 252 snaps all season long, but I mean, he was used well. It seemed like Dennis Allen was like, oh, I can do something with you. So, I mean, overall, I mean, yeah, I kind of give Dom Rob and it's also important to remember that Dom Rob was a fifth round pick originally. He makes nothing.
Yeah.
So again, the fact that he actually did contribute in year three, or is it year four for him? Was this year four? Oh, geez.
This is his last year. We got to re-sign him. Yeah, he's a free agent, right?
Okay. Well, I can't imagine that they're going to re-sign him for much. But yeah, no, I was impressed by Dom Rob. Can't believe I'm saying that this year. Now, do I want him in a bigger role? No, absolutely not. But no. If you can get him dirt cheap, did he prove that he could actually be a somewhat effective fourth or fifth DE? Yeah, absolutely he did. So
Dominique Robinson did two unbelievable things this year. One, he proved that he is an NFL defensive end, which I can't believe. And two, he evaded being nominated as this year's guy for the Cade McNown courtesy Cap of Shame tournament. He's not the guy.
He's not gonna
believe it.
He's not going to be in the Just Why category the next time we do that.
He was like the winner of the Just Why category.
He had his chance. All right. Next up, Chris Williams. I can't remember a single thing Chris Williams did all year. I'm going to give him give him a D for me. What about you?
Chris Williams gets a C because just the fact that he was out there that much tells you everything you need to know about the disaster on the interior of the Bears defensive line this year.
And then we get to Kyler Gordon. This should be an interesting game. What do you give Kyler Gordon?
I give Kyler Gordon whatever he needs to stay healthy for all of next year. Anything he wants, I will give you. I will, if I could give you two fingers, all right, one off of each hand, I would sacrifice to keep you healthy, Kyler. Oh my God. Kyle, we tried to distance ourselves from Kyler during the season. We were like, Kyler, he's a unicorn. If he's out there, it's a bonus. But if he's not,
what he did in the playoffs was the worst possible thing that happened because I'm back to being like, God.
Yeah.
Damn it.
We need him.
We need Kyler Gordon.
We need him.
So this is okay. So from Tommy K _ NFL draft on Twitter. With Kyler Gordon on the field, the Bears defense allowed negative 0.19 EPA per play, negative 0.112 EPA per pass, negative 0.31 EPA per rush. All of those are very good. Without Kyler Gordon, they allowed positive 0.02 EPA per play, 0.05 EPA per pass, 0.03 EPA per rush. I mean, that difference between a literally a top five defense defensive performance and a bottom five defensive performance because of Kyler Gordon. I don't know how a nickel corner can be that and some of that small sample size weirdness, obviously, but I don't know how a nickel corner can be that fucking be. But the same thing happened in 2023. I mean, do you remember Kyler missed, I think, the first four games of 2023. They were absolutely terrible against the Broncos. They were all that shit. And then he comes back and all of a sudden they make that great run combined with him and Montez Sweat. Like, they're just such a different defense.
It's every every other player on that fucking defense feeds off of him somehow. Like, I don't understand the connection between him and Sweat in particular, but when they are both on the field, they both turn into the guy who they're getting paid to be. You're just like, so everything works.
Yeah, I'm gonna give Kyler a C for the year because he's an A when he plays and he's an F for all the times he doesn't. So I'm gonna give him a C.
Just stay healthy, buddy. Don't do anything this offseason.
Okay, so our last 100 snap guy, Joe Tryon Schoenka. Do you remember him doing anything? Do you have any memory of him at all?
I remember when we traded.
Yeah, I remember trading. I don't remember a single snap of him.
Surely he had like a revenge game against Cleveland for trading him, right? Surely he did something.
Yeah, let's see here. So against...
Maybe it's while I wasn't looking.
He didn't have any sacks. He had a grand total of 3 hurries.
Yeah.
2 of the 3 came against Pittsburgh, apparently. So,
oh.
Yeah. So yeah, that's...
Good to have you here, Joe.
We'll give Joe a D, sure. Why not? Okay, so that's it for the 100... There's 2 guys under the 100 snap threshold I think we should discuss. Number 1 is Shamar Turner. I'm going to give expectations are key here because I literally said I expected absolutely nothing from him as a rookie, but I didn't think he'd take me quite so literally. Like you kind of at least needed to be there, man. Yeah. Like I didn't expect your Achilles to just peace out. So gonna give Shamar, we'll give him an incomplete, whatever.
Fucking second round pick can't get on the field on a defensive line
that was
our
bad.
Achilles heel this whole
that
year.
Was quite bad. What you giving him?
An F. Go away. Go punch somebody in the dick and let us terminate your contract.
Okay, and then the last guy that we have to grade here. Somehow we managed to get through this in our allotted time.
We did a fantastic job.
Kind of wild. I expect this to take a lot longer. The last guy left to talk about, Travis, Ruben Hippolyte. What you grading the hoopster, the Hippolyte?
The funny thing about Hippo is, like, I talk about him and joke about him all the time in the Discord. I never mentioned him on the podcast, though. So anybody who just listens to the podcast
doesn't know
why you're excited for me
we
to
talk
about
We have so many
him.
Memes about Ruben Hippolyte.
We, you know, everybody would post who was scratched for the game, who was inactive right before the game. It would always say Ruben Hippolyte, and I'd be like, oh, Ruben Hippolyte's out
You
of
did
the
have
game.
One Ruben Hippolyte rant earlier in the season where you were like... Yes. The one thing this defense could use right now is a linebacker that could really run with tight ends. And we have a guy that we drafted at linebacker for his straight end speed, and he can't get on the field. So what the fuck does that tell you?
Hypothetically, Ruben Hippolyte is perfect for this defense. Hypothetically, he would be an incredible player.
Hypothetically? Ruben Hypothetically.
Ruben Hypothetical.
Ruben Hypothetical the third or the second.
I don't even know that I can blame him because everybody else knew he wasn't an NFL football player except for Ryan Poles.
Yeah.
So yeah, Ruben. I don't know. I have no advice for you, dude. I can't imagine him getting another snap in the NFL. But
which, to be fair, I mean, fourth round picks are what they are. So there's only so angry I can get, but like. God,
sometimes they get you immaculate punters. Oh, we didn't talk about the special teams.
Okay, yeah, here. All right, let's do.
How would you grade Torrey Taylor? I'm actually interested in how you would grade Torrey Taylor.
All right, special teams. Let's look at. Okay, so according to PFF, our top snap getter on special teams was Daniel Hardy, who got a 90.4 grade.
Yeah, He was
and Elijah Hicks was second at a 91.5. And Jonathan Owens had a 90.1. So I'm going to give all three of those guys an A, even though, you know what, for this one instance, we're going to trust PFF blindly. I'm going to give Josh Blackwell, whom we love dearly, an A, especially for the blocked kick against the Raiders.
Yes. On the recovered onside.
Oh, how do you feel about Devin Duvernay? I feel like Devin Duvernay did a pretty darn good job this year as a returner. I thought he... especially that, man, he had that game against the Vikings. He had the one against the Vikings.
Really a tale of two halves of the season with the special teams. First half, very basic, very uninspired, generally bad, like undisciplined group. The second half, they were like kind of a huge strength. One of the things we didn't get to talk about during the season about special teams, we have a few minutes here. I think Cairo and Hightower kind of cracked this new kickoff system.
They did.
They figured out exactly what you're supposed to do with the ball and where you're supposed to do it to maximize field position with Cairo's weird little hooking kick that's designed to land in the landing zone but not be caught by a returner. I think they completely figured it out. I don't know if the rest of the league is going to catch on, but I really only saw the Bears doing that. So I thought that was pretty neat. I thought Torrey really got a lot better as the season went on. I'm still... It's kind of disappointing. Like he's not the coolest punter in the NFL, and he certainly
I watched that Aussie punter for the Seahawks in the Super Bowl, and I thought, boy, what if our guy could do that? So yeah, I'm going to give Torrey Taylor an F because I'm going to give Torrey Taylor an F. I'm going to give Torrey Taylor. They spent a fourth round pick on him, so here's my standard for Torrey Taylor.
Okay? You just said fourth round picks are worthless. You were just like, what do you even expect out of a fourth round pick?
You know, fourth round picks that you use on actual players. Anyways. Here's my standard. Here's my grading rubric for Torrey Taylor. Okay, are you ready? Here's my grading rubric for Torrey Taylor.
I'm ready.
Because they used a fourth round pick on him. Here's my rubric for Torrey Taylor. A, you're the best punter in the NFL.
Okay.
B, fuck you. That's it. Those are the only two options. Was he the best punter in the NFL this year, Travis?
He wasn't.
So fuck him. That's what we got.
Fuck you, Torrey.
Now, Cairo, that one's tough because I will say there's always the problem that I don't like that in the era of mutant kickers, the Bears so often just can't even consider anything past like 53 yards. That sucks. On the other hand, the Bears had some just fucking nasty ass weather games down. They had more bad weather games in the second half of the season than I can really remember a season having. And he was nails in all of those. Especially in that second game against Green Bay right before Christmas, he had that one kick that in that swirling wind that he managed to just like, it looked like a miss, and it was like, no, wait. And he actually played the win and curved it perfectly. That I was like, that's one of the best field goals I've ever seen. So I'm going to give Cairo a B+ for me. Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. And also, yeah, like you said, he really, towards the end of the season, he became, like, I feel like a deadly weapon on those kids. The kickoff return massively improved, and he knew exactly. Plus the onside kick against Green Bay. That's the second year in a row he's had an onside kick because he had one against the Vikings last year. So I'm going to give Cairo, maybe a B+, a little too low. Maybe I'll give Cairo an A-, with the only thing that's holding him back is that I wish that you could just ask him to kick it 55 sometime. But yeah. And then Torrey Taylor, fuck him. So, and fuck
Torrey Taylor, I guess Torrey, you get an F for fuck you. I think A- is probably right for Cairo. Yeah. He was awesome, as the season ended. Unfortunately, yes, there were a couple kicks that he didn't miss because he wasn't allowed to try them. Because he's Cairo Santos and he's not one of the 20 other kickers in the NFL that can kick 68-yard field goals or whatever now. How about Jake Moody? Does he get an A for that one game?
Yeah, Jake Moody, absolutely. Rudy Moody gets an A for sure.
Hell yeah.
For beating the Commanders. I needed that win over the Commanders so badly. So thank you, Jake.
We and Jake Moody's lack of
widowhood. Oh, wait, Travis, look at it. Looking at the special team snap count on PFF. Ryan Bates did get 90 snaps. So we get to give Ryan Bates a grade. Where do you grade Ryan Bates?
Ryan Bates gets,
is there anything above S tier?
Ryan Bates gets an E for ethereal. because I can't believe every time I'm like, wait, is it Ryan Bates still on this fucking team? I cannot believe that Joe Tooney moved to left tackle for a game, and of all people, the dude to move into left guard was a guy who I swear to God I did not know was on the team. I was like, is it going to be Ryan?
And you know what? That guy played pretty well. It's going to be Luke Newman. Pretty darn good in that game.
He played great. Kyle, I don't know what's going on with our offensive line. I don't trust it. This has never happened before. We pulled a guy out of our ass, and he played great in the playoffs. But yeah, it's good to know that Ryan Bates is healthy, and you know, I assume he has kids, and I bet they're doing great in school. Yeah. and he was, boy, what an important signing that was, Ryan.
Yeah,
like that was really necessary. All the hype for that, and how you wanted him, you know, a few years ago, but you just couldn't quite get him. And thank God he's on the team now, playing special teams. I assume blocking for field goals. Or punts.
Yeah, presumably he did. Yeah, he's on those. Hold on.
Good for you, Ryan Bates. Oh, yeah. should we give the head coach and the other coaches grades, or are we good at 1 hour exactly?
I believe we graded Ben last time.
We did.
So do we need to grade Dennis Allen and Richard Hightower? So Hightower, I'm actually going to, as much as we were wanting him fired, I'm actually going to give Hightower, I think, at the overall, I'm going to give him a B-, I think, because the first half was pretty bad.
Yeah.
But he definitely, you saw him adapt as the year went along. And like you said, they figured some stuff out with the new kickoff and everything. Didn't have any kicks blocked this year after the Commanders game, right?
Right. Yes. So that's after we flipped shit with yet another kick being blocked. Yes, they avoided blocks after that. He really did adapt past that point, and I have to give him a ton of credit for that. I really enjoyed the special teams the second half of the year. So, and I can't, man, with the way I was feeling about Richard Hightower, I was going to scapegoat his ass for the whole season.
Dennis Allen's really tough for me too, because there were some dark moments in there. But definitely when he finally had the guys he expected to have against the Rams, you really saw some impressive, and the second half against the Packers too. I mean, the adjustments he made the second half. So I'll do a B- for Dennis Allen too. I want to see what he looks like next year, hopefully with a healthier roster with some additions and stuff before I really judge him on that. So
I feel like if ever there was a guy to give an incomplete grade to, it's got to be Dennis Allen, right?
Yeah.
You know, you're down to your sixth, seventh, eighth corners. All of your linebackers are gone, you know, against the Steelers. You've got a defensive line that's made up of bits and pieces that you probably didn't want. Like Dio Degbo and Grady Jarrett out there, Big Bill has finally fallen off. I don't know. I think I would be tempted to give him like a C, like just a straight C, because God, there were some torturous games how much of that was on Dennis? I don't think it was a whole ton, but there were some games there where he couldn't stop blitzing and it just wasn't working. It wasn't getting home, and we were getting beat behind him. So yeah, I would say C for Dennis Allen. Kyle, we've graded everybody.
We graded. So we got a couple weeks openings here before, because I'm looking at the schedule I sent you a little while ago, trying to map things out. I don't think we don't want to do our free agency preview too soon. I think I said probably the week of March 2nd is when we'll do that.
Yeah.
So we've got some openings in here. I was thinking, Travis, we've had some good discussion in the Discord, and I mentioned it on here a lot, and people are always asking me, you know, to kind of talk about in depth about some of the quarterback stuff I've talked about, not our rankings episode, that won't come to the summer, but I was thinking about, I have referred to the gremlin rules quarterbacks so much, and the dishonorable yardage and things like that, and I was thinking maybe next week for funsies we could kind of talk about quarterbacks this year and those things, and you know, the gremlin rules, the dishonorable, why I care about that, why it matters, kind of put some guys into those buckets to sort of understand who we're talking about. I thought that might be fun. Does that sound
There's some surprises on that list. Well, Kyle, I got to tell you, we have kind of talked about this concept for years, but every once in a while you would come at me with a couple of just wild numbers about like dishonorable yardage, and you would just like get really mad about it, but you wouldn't go all the way. And you finally went all the way. We got to talk about it.
I had to quantify it. I had to quantify it.
You finally did it. Yeah. And I'm so excited to have those numbers.
Yeah.
So yeah, next week we'll talk about gremlins. We'll talk about dishonorable yards.
Well, I think we'll probably get in a little update again on our second year quarterbacks now that the second years are done for all of them. You know, I think people I'll say this. I think people have definitely, they have swerved too hard in the other direction on Drake May already. I'm seeing a lot of really stupid overreactions to the guy there. But I mean, at the same time, it's a necessary course correction to people being way too over their skis about him back in October and November. So we'll see there. But yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit. Talk about the gremlin rules, the dishonorable stuff. Because I want to talk about that before we get into the quarterbacks in the draft, because as always, that plays a factor. And it's part of my disgust. It increases more and more every year as these college offenses just get more and more dishonorable. And I think we have. Well, we'll talk about this. We'll talk about this next week.
We'll talk about it. It's all about that next week. Yeah.
All right. See you, folks. Way out on that bumper floor. Now you know I'm leaving Chicago, and people I show do hate to go. Now you know I'm leaving.